Good evening and welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now open your Bibles, open your minds, and join in the conversation with your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good evening. Welcome to another edition of Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight, right here on AM 1220, The Word. I hope you'll be able to stick with us here this evening. And if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, I invite you to give us a call tonight. Our phone number is 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And we can get you on the air here this evening with your questions about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. Check us out online, livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And if you go there, you can find out more about me, more about the program. You can listen to past programs there. You can read some articles that I have there, some articles, just some things that I have on there, as well as links to articles that I've written on a variety of subjects. You can all check all that out there. And you can also cross-link from there to our home church, Richfield Bible Baptist Church, where I am the pastor, and certainly invite you to visit us at the Richfield Bible Baptist Church. We'll have more information of that here during the breaks, but we're in Richfield, Ohio. We're right off from 77 and 271. Midway between Akron and Cleveland. We're easy to get to, and we enjoy meeting some of the people listening to the program. We've had a number of people come up in our, not only for our regular services on Sunday, but also for our Friday night Bible studies, which, by the way, if you like the fellowship, that's what we do on Friday night. We have 2 hours, 7 o'clock till 9 o'clock, and we just meet at our church, and we discuss the Bible and current events in light of God's Word, and trying to help develop a biblical worldview in people, and all that at the Richfield Bible Baptist Church. In fact, you can find us, I'll give you the street address, it's 4174 Wheatley Road, that's 4174 Wheatley Road, Suite 200. And I emphasize Suite 200 because if you're looking for a building with a steeple, you won't find us. We're in a commercial space. And I'm just talking with somebody tonight, and he said, how long were you in the hotel? Was that like 9 years or something like that? I said, it's 13 years. We had our sojourn in the wilderness of the hotel for 13 years before God opened the doors. And just a little over a year ago, we moved into our location at 4174 Wheatley Road, Suite 200 in Richfield. We were at another location at a hotel in Richfield before that. And it's been nice. Enjoy having the place to ourselves, not having to coordinate with other organizations as to whether or not we can have a special service or something or a special activity. So we have our regular services there. Of course, every Sunday our morning service is at 11 o'clock. I'm currently preaching through the Gospel of John. And I'm in the middle of John chapter 4 right now. And on Sunday nights, I'm preaching through the book of Proverbs, and we're in Proverbs chapter 24. And then, of course, every Friday night is our open, informal Bible question and answer time, where, just like on the program here, you can bring your questions about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. We have a great discussion, and we've got some refreshments, and it's just a nice time of fellowship if you're looking for something to do on a Friday night. Well, we are going to look into a couple of things, but let's open our program here tonight with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to thank you again for the opportunity to be on the air tonight. Bless the program. Use us for your glory tonight. Help us to point people that are searching to Christ. Help us to encourage believers in their walk with you. And again, Lord, we just ask that in all things that we do, we lift up and glorify our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We thank you, and we just pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, good to be with you, as I said tonight. What a gorgeous day today was. Wasn't sure exactly how warm it was supposed to be. We've had some differing forecasts, but it was a very pleasant day. In fact, when I came into the studio tonight, It was still 61 degrees on my car thermometer in the parking lot. And I don't know if you had a chance to see the sunset this evening, but we walked out and we were in the parking lot after our evening service tonight, and we came out just at the right time, looked over, and the sun was setting in the west. Well, obviously, it's setting in the west, not going to be setting in the east, and the sun was setting, and it looked like a great big red-orange ball just sitting there a little above the horizon, and no clouds, but there was enough of a thin layer of cloud or something that was enough that you could see it as a big orange or red orange ball without having, you know, the bright light or anything that would hurt your eyes and make it hard to look at. And it was just sort of sitting there, got a picture of it just as the clouds were starting to come in on it. And it just was absolutely amazing to look at. It's always kind of nice, you know, it's when you see what God has in the skies for our enjoyment. And of course, it's more than just our enjoyment. The sun, the moon, the stars there for signs and seasons and tell when the seasons are and what's going on. But then as I left to come up here tonight, just a little thin, very thin crescent moon that was there in the western horizon. And so it was kind of neat to be able to see that. So, well, at any rate, this is things God's created. It's his creation. Psalm 19 is one of my favorite psalms because it talks about, in Psalm 19, the glories of God's creation and how the glories of God's creation is a testimony to the Creator. Psalm 19, verse 1 begins saying, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard." And really, when you think about that, that's saying that no matter where you go, there is something that you can look at either in the sky above or on the earth below that is a testimony to a Creator. And then, of course, he continues, "There's no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line has gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race. His going forth is from the end of the heaven, and his circuits unto the ends of it, and there is nothing hid from the heat thereof." And when you read that statement, a lot of people read that and say, "Oh, that's contrary to science." No, it's absolutely in accordance with science. There's a tabernacle for the sun. There's a set place that the sun stays. The sun's not wandering around between galaxies somewhere. It's set in a specific location in a spiral arm of the Milky Way galaxy. And as it's in that specific location, it's also involved in a great circuit from the end of the heaven, one end of the heaven to the ends thereof. The sun is currently moving at 143 miles per second as it revolves around the center, not around the earth, but around the center of the Milky Way galaxy. And the earth, of course, is following along, moving at 18.5 miles per second around the sun, and overall following the sun at 143 miles a second around the center of the Milky Way galaxy. And the sun goes forth, as the Bible says, as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race. The sun robed in its glory like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber wearing his brightest clothes. The sun comes out in all its glory. And as a strong man running a race, the sun, along with a number of other stars, are all moving at different speeds around the center of the Milky Way galaxy in a great race from one end of the heaven to the other. And so Psalm 19 absolutely corresponds to modern science knowledge and understanding of the sun, the galaxy, and the earth and things like that. And again, it just reinforces that no matter where you are, If you look up in the sky or you look down at the earth, you are going to see things that testify to a creator. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Well, you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Again, our number is 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, we invite you to give us a call tonight. And we've got Nancy calling in. Nancy, welcome to the program this evening.
Oh, thank you, Pastor Al, for taking my call.
Well, good evening.
Thank you. Good evening to you. And yes, I saw that big ball, the sun. It was so impressive. Oh, beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. Now, the Bible verse I wanted to talk about tonight was Matthew 7, 15. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Now, I have been so sort of mesmerized by Elon Musk and thinking that he's so wonderful and everything. But then I heard, and if you could clarify this, I don't know if I have this right, that he hired a CEO of Twitter, and I'm not sure about this position, who is a globalist. So she's all for the New World Order. So, you know, I just had this wonderful impression. I know he's not saved. I know Elon Musk is saved, but he's just, you know, so wonderful taking over Twitter, doing free speech. I don't know. Now, I know this Bible verse is talking about prophets and maybe teachers or whatever. So I don't know if it would be applied to Elon Musk, because he's just not as wonderful as I thought he was. So now, do you know exactly what position this globalist that he appointed to be in charge of something? I don't know if she's a CEO of Twitter or what. Are you aware of her position? Thank you.
Well, yeah, I remember hearing about that, but I didn't honestly spend a whole lot of time looking at it. I did hear some discussion that the individual that he hired was hired more for their expertise or something like that. But again, you know, like you pointed out, he's not saved, and I hope people are praying for his salvation, because we ought to be praying for his salvation. You know, he is not somebody who is out there crusading for the cause of Christ. And he is maybe doing what he thinks is a good business deal. He might be doing what he thinks is ultimately going to be good for Elon Musk and even for our country. But at the same time, you know, the Bible is not his guidebook. And I've got no guarantee that he is not, you know, adverse to the plans of the globalists. He may just be maybe disagreeing with some of the things that they want to do, but it may be that he's not totally against it. I was just looking here as I'm talking. Here's a little thing here. This is the individual, Linda Yaccarino, who chairs a World Economic Forum committee. Of course, the World Economic Forum, this is the group led by Klaus Schwab that is, I've been told, oh, it's just a little group without any real influence, except that the newly crowned, coronated King of England, King Charles, is a very active, vocal spokesperson for the World Economic Forum. And, of course, the Prime Minister Trudeau in Canada is a member of this. Putin in Russia, Zelensky in Ukraine, they've all been to the World Economic Forum training things, many of our politicians here in the United States are actively involved in this. John Kerry was just over there earlier this year was it in Switzerland, I believe, and talking about that. And very supportive of it. So the world is generally, I mean, this the World Economic Forum's got its ties into world leaders and up-and-coming world leaders all over the world, in the West, in the East, the developed world, the developing world. And Elon Musk hired this woman as a new CEO of Twitter. And she has ties, of course, to the World Economic Forum, where apparently she chairs a committee there. But some people have pointed out that she personally follows and likes tweets from prominent conservatives, but that doesn't necessarily make her a conservative. I'm just trying to see here. She was an advertising chief at NBC Universal. And that's where she left to come on at Twitter. And it may be that that was his main purposes there. But it may also be that, hey, you know, the Davos, Switzerland, that's where they met earlier this year. She was chairman of the World Economic Forum Task Force on the Future of Work, as well as a committee regarding media, entertainment, and culture. And so... who knows? Maybe maybe he secretly has his own ties to the World Economic Forum. I guess he's been there in the past, but he's not been there in recent years. We don't really know exactly where all of Musk's stands are. We don't know exactly where exactly he wants to take Twitter in the future, but for the time being, he has certainly given a lot of conservatives an opportunity to have a voice back on Twitter. But I believe he wants to take Twitter to become a larger platform than what it is right now. And it may be that it just happens that his interests and the interests of this woman, Linda Yaccarino, it may just be that they just happen to coincide right now.
Can you tell me how to spell her name? I want to write it down.
Linda Yaccarino, Yaccarino.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
Yeah, Yaccarino. And you know, when we look at these people, this is a mistake that a lot of people, you know, can, and I've fallen prey to this. It's an easy thing to fall prey to sometimes. We see some of these secular people and they do something which at the moment coincides with our goals as conservatives and as Christians, and we want to gravitate to them, thinking that maybe somehow they've come to our side, and we sometimes forget that they're not saved individuals, and because they're not saved individuals, ultimately they're not on the same page that we're on. We may coincide a little bit from time to time with some shared interests and all that, but they're not going to have the appreciation. I don't expect Elon Musk, for instance, to have appreciation for the Bible and the mention in the Bible about a coming world order, a coming world government led by an individual the Bible calls the Antichrist or the Beast, the son of perdition, various terms that are given to him. I don't expect Elon Musk to be aware of that or to, if he has heard of it, to appreciate it or even believe it. Because, you know, as Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, he said, the natural man receives not the things of God. Let me just turn over there before I mess it up completely here. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 14, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. And let me make a point while I'm on that. There's a lot of people who like to listen to, like, for instance, Dennis Prager, who's on a sister station here to 1220 on 1420. And Dennis Prager he's got a lot of wisdom. He's a very intelligent man, and I enjoy listening to a lot of his things. But some people think that when Dennis Prager opines on biblical themes, in particular Old Testament themes, we should listen to him because he's Jewish. But the problem is Dennis Prager is not saved. And this statement here, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. This is applied to him as well, even though, you know, he's doing a series on explaining the Old Testament, you know, the books, the first five books of the Bible. What's he called? The Rational Bible that he's doing, and a lot of Christians have looked at. But this is what I tell people. Jewish people, for instance, and rabbis in particular, have a great deal of knowledge of the history of the Old Testament and the customs and the understanding of the law and you know, some of the obscure things of that nature, but they really don't fully understand what it means. And let me give you a case in point. And no doubt many of our listeners have heard Dennis Prager go on about the Ten Commandments and about how the commandment against taking the name of the Lord, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. He does not believe that using God as a word of exasperation or something. You know how people do that. They'll be surprised or shocked or exasperated, and they'll use God's name. Now, Christians filled with the Holy Spirit know there's something wrong with that, because the Spirit of God in you as a believer bears witness when you hear somebody use the name of God flippantly like that. We say, that's not right. That's using it in vain. Dennis Prager, on the other hand, says, that's not using God's name in vain. Using God's name in vain is when you claim to be His, represent him, and then you do terrible things. Well, yeah, that technically is using his name in vain as well. Doing terrible things in the name of the Lord is a terrible thing indeed. That's using God's name in vain. But I'm sorry, somebody filled with has the Spirit of God in them, and they hear somebody using God's name flippantly, and they say, that's wrong. I'm going to believe that more than somebody who's not saved, who does not have the Spirit of God in them, who rationalizes the fact that they use God's name in vain constantly. And I'm not saying don't listen to Dennis Prager. I enjoy listening to him. He's got a lot of wisdom. But don't make the mistake thinking that he's a saved man. Now, let me apply what I just said back. Go ahead.
Can I just say one thing?
Yeah.
I do give him credit. I mean, it's obvious he's not saved. I do give him credit. Born-again Christians do call up, and he does let them talk, and he respects what they're saying, so I have to give him credit for that.
Absolutely. But now I wanted to take the comments that I made about him, because as somebody, and I personally have listened to Dennis Prager for years, I've met Dennis Prager in person. I've got his autograph. You know, it's just, what was it, somewhere in something. At any rate, I've met him actually more than once. I've heard him in person more than once. And I've listened to him over the years on the radio, and I've learned many things from him. He's actually given some great explanations on some of the things under the law that I didn't really fully understand the history thereof, and he's given me some insight into the history of it, how that law came to be and how it changed things. But at the same time, I don't want to make mistake thinking that he's got the Spirit of God in him, because he doesn't, because he's unsaved.
No, absolutely.
And now I want to say that take that same thing that's applied over to Elon Musk. Elon Musk may do or say things that we appreciate, things that we agree with, things that we like, but we as believers don't want to make the mistake and think that just because he's been friendly to our cause in many respects, just because he has been helpful even, not to make the mistake and look at what he says as if God's speaking through him, because to my knowledge, he's unsaved, which means that he's the natural man that understands not the things of the Spirit of God. They're foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they're spiritually discerned. That's why I pray for his salvation. And so as a consequence, when an unsaved person hires a globalist like Linda Yaccarino, it doesn't shock me, because I don't know that Elon Musk is personally all that opposed to a globalist society. Maybe I'm wrong, but I just don't think that's as big of a concern for him. I do think that he wants to preserve some freedom of speech and things of that nature, but I don't expect an unsaved person to act like a spirit-filled Christian and to have the discernment that a Christian should have.
Okay. Well, that does help explain better his choice of her.
Yeah.
And maybe, it seems to me a while back, it seemed to me that he was analyzing people that were globalists and say, well, he's a globalist or something like that. He seems to understand that. But I don't know if he was like saying something negative about it or not, but he understands the whole concept, I'm sure.
Well,
Elon Musk.
Yeah, I think he's been at some globalist meetings in the past, in a number of them. And I know he's also had some things to say against the World Economic Forum. But again, I don't think that he sees, what we talk about the mystery of iniquity that's working in the world that Paul warned about in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and how all these things are working together to bring in this one world government and bringing the Antichrist on the scene. So, but at the same time, we still hope for the best. We pray, but we hope for the best with him. He has made some.
Pray for his salvation for sure. Wouldn't it be wonderful if he got saved? He's so creative and so intelligent. Here I am putting him up on a pedestal.
Well, I mean, it's easy to do. I mean, I've heard people say in the past. I remember hearing a discussion one time where they were talking about. When people become billionaires, they've reached a class of persons that very few people in the world can really identify with when you're in that category. And you've reached a category where money is almost meaningless to you, although a lot of them are pretty concerned about it. But, you're never going to spend all that you have. And so basically you can do anything that you want. Money's no object, it's a whole different realm of experience from what most people understand or live through. And so he's in a realm there where he is kind of up on a pedestal, but at the same time we need to remember he's just a man, and he needs a savior just like anybody else does.
Okay, well, thank you so much for taking my call and explaining it so well. And you have a blessed night. Thank you.
Oh, God bless, and thank you for calling, Nancy. I appreciate the call there tonight. And you are listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Our phone number is 888-677-9673. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, and as Nancy went off there, I just happened to remember, made me think about it, there was a thing out in Euclid near her church where they were trying to get signatures for to get the abortion amendment on the ballot in November. And I know Nancy's church out there, Pastor Risnacko and the Bible Baptist Temple, a group of people out there stood up in the gap with some signs and gave a witness and warned people that it wasn't women's health that they were embodying. It was abortion on demand. Well, stay tuned. We've got another half hour or hour and a half to go. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at 4174 Wheatley Road, Suite 200 in Richfield, midway between Akron and Cleveland, just off both Interstate 77 and Interstate 271. The Bible Baptist Church meets each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions, just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Why? Well, because the Bible says there is none righteous, no, not one. We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible also says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. But God commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him." And so the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, "Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." I like that. Whosoever, that means you. If this show has been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing to Pastor Al Davis at Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio, 44286. Our email address is pastoral@maplenoel.us. You can also visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. Or you can call us at 330-659-6561. We'd love to hear from you, but now let's get back to our program. Oh, welcome back. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight right here on AM 1220, The Word. I hope you'll be able to stick with us here this evening. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call tonight. Our phone number is 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673, and we'll get you on the air here tonight with your questions about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. And a lot of times people say, "Well, how come we always hear from Nancy, who was just on the last half?" Well, Nancy calls. She picks up the phone and she dials 888-677-9673, and that's how she gets on. And that's how you can get on as well. I understand some people are a little reluctant to come on the radio. You can even call in and leave a question for us, and we'll go from that as well. If you don't feel like coming on the air, you can just call in, and Craig will get your question for you, and he'll let me know what it is, and we can address that as well. But I want to remind you to check us out online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And if you go there, you can find out more about me and listen to past programs, read some articles and different things, materials that we have there at livewithpastoral.com. And you can also link from there some of our social media sites that we're on a number of them. And then, of course, you link over to our church for our page for our church, Richfield Bible Baptist Church, where I am the pastor. You can find out more there as well. And of course, that's our main sponsor. And we're also sponsored by East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights. You can find East Coast Pizza at 4889 Turney Road. That's 4889 Turney Road, right across the street from the Garfield Heights High School in Garfield Heights, and give them a call at 216-341-9100. That's 216-341-9100. That's East Coast Pizza, right across the street from the Garfield Heights High School on Turney Road at 4889 Turney Road in Garfield Heights. And if you're interested in getting in perhaps into the pizza business yourself, not a franchise, but your own business, call Gus at East Coast Pizza, 216-341-9100. That's 216-341-9100, and ask Gus what he can do to help you get started in your own pizza business. And let him know you heard about him here on Live with Pastor Al. All right, well, we're going to get back to our phones here. And you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Our phone number is 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And Terry is waiting patiently tonight. Terry, welcome to the program this evening.
Good evening, Pastor Al.
Good evening. Good to hear from you.
Good to hear from you, always. Yeah, I'm another reason why I always get on. I just call and I get through.
Well, and that's just it, because you had people ask, how do you get on? So it's very simple. You call 888-677-9673, and the phone rings, and Craig will answer it in there and get you on. So
I missed the two Toms calling in. I haven't heard from them for a while.
Well, actually, you're talking about the two Toms that call. One of them, Tom, is going to be calling in, actually going to be with me now that you mentioned it. Let me take a look at my calendar here a second. On this coming Friday, which is the 26th of May at 1:30, Tom Weber, and he doesn't mind me giving out his whole name because he's going to come on as a guest, and he's written a book. It's a novel that starts and it leads up to the present day and the founding of America, and it's called Americans We Were, and it's a huge book. He spent 11 years working on this, and I know him, and over the years, he's been saying, well, the book's coming along. We just got this, and we're just finishing it up, and the publisher's working on this, and the editor's doing this, and now it's published, and you can actually find it online at either Amazon or Barnes & Noble. It's Americans We Were by Henry Thomas Weber, and you can just go right there and find it. You can see it, and he's going to be on talking about it. It's a novel remembering the glorious past of America, honoring the faithful people who came to this land in the hope of finding something better. And he says here, in this are revealed the pathways of Christian faith in the awareness of Almighty God, whom I am confident moved upon the hearts of our founding fathers. And so Tom is going to be talking about his book on our program this coming Friday afternoon at 1:30 here on AM 1220. And, you know, if you're saying, well, I can't listen at that time, I'm going to miss the program. Well, a day or so later, I'll have it on our website at livewithpastoral.com. And that's where I try to get everything. In fact, just looking at livewithpastoral.com, I think we are currently up to, let's see, we have last Friday the 12th on there. I guess I don't have the 19th. I'm a little behind, I guess. I don't have last week up on there yet, but Friday the 12th is the last one on there. And then, of course, Sunday the 7th is on there. And it, of course, has both hours on Sunday are listed there, hour one and hour two, because a lot of people listen to hour one, our 11 o'clock, or I'm sorry, 10 to 11 o'clock hour. But it's late, they're tired, they got to get up in the morning for work and don't listen to the 11 to midnight program, or part of the program. Well, those are all available at livewithpastoral.com. You can listen to them there, and you can also see them at the radio station here, WHKWradio.com. They have a link to the podcast there as well. We try to make them available, and you can listen to them, and hopefully be something in there that's blessing, encouragement to people when you listen to them. But yeah, so
Tom that came to your church one time.
Yeah, that's the one that wrote the book.
Yeah. Is he the one? He's blind, isn't he?
No, that's another individual. We had an individual from Florida who would call in periodically. Haven't heard from him for a while. And of course, at 11 o'clock, we go on live in Florida on Faith Talk Tampa, which is another Salem station, and they have a variety of they've got four or five actual stations down there, so it just goes by Faith Talk Tampa, and they've got a variety of AM and FM broadcasters, and they carry the program down there from 11 o'clock until midnight. They don't carry our 10 o'clock hour, but did have one gentleman down there. He used to call in periodically, I'm thinking the gentleman who is blind, that's not Tom. I think Tom is the gentleman from St. Petersburg who would call in the Amen Corner in St. Petersburg. And
I like when he calls in.
Yeah, it's always enjoyable when he calls in, and they'll probably be coming back on. They'll be listening to us then. Sometimes some of them listen to us online. Like we said before, you can go to WHKWradio.com, not only listen to past podcasts there, but you can listen live. If you're having trouble getting the signal over the airwaves, just log on to WHKWradio.com, and you can listen to any of the programming here. It says listen live on the link there. Just click the button there for that, and you can listen on your phone, on your laptop, or wherever, and you can hear it. Generally, you can get a pretty good feed that way, and so it makes it convenient. Our goal is to let people know we're here and to be able to be a voice messenger, pointing people to Christ and encouraging people in their walk with Him and helping people develop a biblical worldview. So that's kind of what we try to do, whether you listen to us on the air live, whether you listen to us online live, or whether you listen to a past program recorded and uploaded on our website, whatever it is. We're just hoping that we can point people to Christ, encourage believers in their walk with you, and help people that are searching to be able to find Christ. So that's what we try to do.
That's one thing you and I have never met.
No, not in person. We've talked on the radio many times over the years, and it is kind of interesting. You know, you see people, or you hear people, you talk to people, but one of these days, and this is something that all of us as believers know, or should know, that one of these days we'll all meet together in the air, and it'll be the great reunion in the air of all the believers meeting together for the first time ever in the air with our Lord Jesus Christ, whom I've never seen in the flesh, but I will then.
I've seen you.
Well, the picture, yeah, we had pictures online.
Picture, or I've seen you on the radio station.
Yeah, some of the different things. And in the past, we've done some video things, tried doing that, but it proved to be too much trouble to try to do the video link and the radio program at the same time. Trying to do it and keep it straight, just too much effort, so we gave up on it.
Yeah. I was going to mention one thing about King Charles. You always get me thinking, you know, I get studying things, eh? And, you know, one thing I was studying about was, you know, what Charles' faiths are, or faith is. And I guess his mother was, I got to go back again here, I keep forgetting what, I can't find it. he had the same faith as his mother, I guess.
Well, basically the sovereign is supposed to be the head of the Anglican Church of England.
Anglican Church.
Yeah, and I think by tradition, at least after they had a few episodes with Catholic kings and queens, the king or queen is supposed to be Protestant and not Catholic. I think Charles has a lot more interest in the New Age and various types of globalist religious formats than his mother ever did.
Yeah. It says here that Charles' own faith is deep and strong, but more questioning, more intellectual, more complex than his mother's.
Right. Yeah, hers tended to be more mainline Christian, whereas he's more open to, universalist type thought that everybody has a little bit of truth and questioning to try and find, the answers in other, religions and faiths and things like that and bring them all together, which of course is exactly what the false prophet's going to do during the tribulation period. He's going to bring them all together under one umbrella. So,
and it says here he expects all Islam interest in all kinds of spirituality.
Yeah, so that's what I said, kind of the New Agey sort of stuff that he seemed to be into.
Yeah, Muslims, Sikhs, all Hindus.
Very, very inclusive, ecumenical.
Yeah, and I think that's a danger.
Absolutely, because the Bible says that we ought to be separate from those things. In fact, let's see here, over in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, he says this right here, starting verse 14, "Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness, and what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people." And then he says this in 2 Corinthians 6, verse 17, "Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty." So God in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 here is presented as anything but inclusive and ecumenical.
Right.
So
you were talking about him, if you've heard them being possibly the Antichrist.
Yeah, and I've heard people speculate on that. I don't rule anything out. I personally don't know that he would be. I can think of some other people who might be better candidates, but I'm not going to go out on a limb and say dogmatically he is or isn't.
There's a lot of Antichrist out there, though.
Oh yeah, the spirit of Antichrist is certainly right, alive and well in the world, but one particular individual will be what is called the Antichrist, the son of perdition, the man of sin, the beast, various terms that are given to him, the little horn, things like that. And one of the things that makes, that makes King Charles a candidate in the minds of many people is that, of course, as a part of the royal family, he owes some, he has ancestry to, what group is it? I'm trying to think of the one king I slipped my mind here. I hadn't thought about this in a while. There was a king many years ago, Charles Martel, I think, in France, who claimed that he was heir to the descendant of a union between Jesus Christ and Mary Magdalene. And this is what gets kind of interesting. People talk about the Holy Grail. Remember there was a movie, Indiana Jones and the Search for the Holy Grail. And there's other movies that have talked about it. But the Grail legend supposedly was the cup that caught the blood of Christ at the crucifixion. And there's some speculation that the real Grail represents the royal houses of Europe, of which King Charles would be descendant of, because as a descendant of Mary Magdalene and Jesus Christ, they contain the blood of Christ in them. You know, hence the idea that they have the blood of not just kings, but the blood of deity in them. And that's what gives them the divine right to rule, because they are descendants of Christ. Now, of course, the idea that they are descendants of Jesus and Mary Magdalene is just pure fiction. It's beyond fiction. It's actually heretical. Jesus never fathered any children with Mary Magdalene or anybody else, and was never married or out of wedlock the father of any children. That's just not biblical. It's heretical, and it's a false teaching. But nevertheless, it's believed by some people. And so anyone who's a member of this lineage that represents the major houses in Europe, royal houses, they are looked at oftentimes as potentially the Antichrist, because he's going to claim that lineage and all. So that's just one of many reasons, but it does appear that the Antichrist will come out of the revived Roman Empire, which largely Europe represents, Europe in the Mediterranean region, where the Roman Empire held sway, and certainly England was a part of that under the Roman Empire. So there's a variety of reasons, but when the individual comes on the scene, though, there's one surefire way to know that it's the Antichrist. That's when he confirms. What's that?
And believers won't see him.
Yeah, we'll be in heaven. But those who are on earth, when he signs the covenant, the 7-year covenant with Israel, and presumably that'll be some sort of peace treaty that'll bring peace to the region, and likely set up the stage for Ezekiel 38 so that the land will dwell in peace and safety, a land of unwalled villages. The individual that signs that covenant, confirms that covenant with the Jewish people, with Israel, likely will be the Antichrist. If you don't get it then, when he goes into the rebuilt temple, which would be at the midpoint of the tribulation, according to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and declares himself to be God, and as Daniel chapter 9 says, he causes the sacrifices and oblations to cease. And Jesus referred to it as the abominations of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet. He'll enter into the Holy of Holies and seat himself in there and declare himself to be God there, showing himself as God. And some people will believe that. Well, if somebody sees that happen, even if you missed the you're not sure about the confirming the covenant, if you see that event, you'll know that's the Antichrist. And then, of course, the false prophet is going to build an image, the Antichrist, and cause people to worship it and to worship the Antichrist and receive the mark of the beast there in Revelation chapter 13. So if you see that happen, that's another clue that this guy's the Antichrist. He's not the real Messiah. He's a false Messiah.
Well, one thing just came to me, too. Christians may see him right now, but they don't know who he is.
Well, exactly. If we were to assume, let's just assume that the rapture were to take place this year, and that would be the last thing that needs to take place before the Antichrist can come to power. Well, technically not the last thing. The last thing would be the confirming of the covenant in Daniel chapter 9. But when that takes place, assuming, let's just say that was going to happen later this year, obviously the devil would have to have his man in place and have to be working with somebody who would have to be there somewhere on the world scene, someone who's influential in some way. And that's where people a lot of times look at people like King Charles and Emmanuel Macron in France and a number of others. So who knows? We like you said, we won't be here. We'll be taken up before that. But for people who are left behind, those are the things that they'll have to look forward or look to and be aware of. So when they see those things happen, they'll know what's going on. So that's why it's good to talk about them.
I was reading about the time with Egypt, you know, when Israel left Egypt. You know, the thing, what happened to Egypt, it was a total disaster because they lost all their workforce.
They lost the labor that the Israelites were performing for them. And of course, before that, of course, the 10 plagues that came on Egypt devastated them, devastated their crops, devastated their livestock. And then, of course, when the death of the firstborn, whether of animals or people, just the devastating blow to the entire country.
And that ties in with the rapture.
Well, you know, that is a good point, because a lot of the people that are going to be taken out of the world are some people who are very productive, very key people in society, and they just oftentimes not appreciated for what they do.
Yeah, that's going to cause total devastation with the economy because of that.
Well,
because people all of a sudden, the workforce will just be gone.
Yeah, in some places it'll be more felt than others. The real question is just what will that number be? Because we have the falling away that is taking place, and we have people abandoning biblical Christianity and the gospel message while still oftentimes calling themselves Christians. I remember hearing one time the two biggest surprises of the rapture will be, one, seeing people there that we didn't expect to see there, and number two, not seeing people there that we expected to see there. There may be some truth to that. But some places will be more affected than others. But if the rapture were to take place during a time of global turmoil, let's say a regional war breaks out in Israel, in the Middle East, let's say that the Arab nations decide we are going to drive out Israel, we're going to destroy Israel, take back the Temple Mount for Allah, and you've got this buildup of forces, you've had these rocket attacks, the Islamic Jihad out of the Gaza Strip here recently. Iran just shipped some chemicals into Syria via Iraq, and their concern is that this is the basis of some kind of chemical warfare potential attack. And if a major war exploded in the Middle East and possibly even went nuclear with Israel defending itself, and the rapture took place then, well, it would be a surprise, or it would be amazing. A lot of people might miss it. Hey, we got a break here, and got another hour to come. Stay tuned.